In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Many of you may be aware that I'm a bit of a public radio junkie. It's always what I have on the radio in the car. A couple weeks ago, I was driving, and I was listening to a story, and I tried to Google it, and I tried to find it, but I couldn't figure out what program this was on. But they were interviewing the guy who had originally designed the recycling logo. You know that logo, it's a triangle and it has these arrows that sort of feed into each other? You see it on all sorts of products. Well, this guy had designed it in college in the early 1980s, and it was originally a design contest that he just submitted, and he never got paid for it. And then he moved out of the country for a couple of years after college, so when he came back, it wasn't until he had come back that he realized that this was ubiquitous and it was everywhere. And so they're talking to him, and they said, well, how do you feel about having designed this logo? And he said something that was kind of interesting. He said, you know, so often now you hear people say, I'm humbled. He goes, what's with that, humbled? He says, I'm proud of what I did. But I think he points out something really funny in that last statement, which is we do often. In fact, I've found myself guilty of this too, where you say, oh, I'm humbled, rather than saying proud, because what we do is we'll hide our pride in false humility. And like so many things in faith, humility needs to be something that is authentic and genuine, something that comes from a real place. Our gospel reading we heard today was a story about Jesus at a dinner party, and as Jesus is watching the table, he noticed that other guests are all trying to sit up toward the head of the table, toward the host, because they're trying to look better. So he gives this teaching and he says, don't do that. Don't try to sit close to the head of the table because somebody, the host might tell you, oh no, sorry, somebody more important than you is here. You have to go down to the foot of the table. He says, instead, go sit at the foot, and then that way, then the host can invite you up and then you'll be honored. And then he continues his teaching and he says, when you throw your own dinner party, a wedding banquet or whatever it might be, don't invite those people that are going to look good around you. Don't invite the people that you're going to be proud to be sitting by. He says, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Now this teaching we've had for 2,000 years, two millennia of Christianity, and yet even today, I would imagine this is very rarely done. We often will still try to do things to hide ourselves or to separate ourselves from other people. Well, for instance, we might try to donate to charitable causes. Now, this is a good thing. I would highly encourage you to do that. But we might have a certain way of doing things when we donate. Or maybe we work the soup kitchen. It's also a wonderful thing. We should continue to do that. But I would imagine when we do these things, we put up a barrier between ourselves and those we are serving. Maybe it's a physical counter, or we may not even see the face of the person that we're helping. How often, when we do these things, do we actually sit and eat with someone that we're feeding? Many years ago, when I was my first parish, I served in Topeka. We were affiliated with an organization called Let's Help. It's similar to the Shalom Center, although it was kind of a bigger scale operation, and they would serve 400 or 500 people a day. And when the first time I went, the director was showing me around, and he said, all right, here's the dining room where the volunteers sit and eat. And I said, well, why don't we just eat with the people who are coming here to be fed? And he kind of looked at me like I had two heads. Why would you ever do that? I said, well, can I? And he said, well, sure you can. So I get my meal at the end of serving, and I go and I sit. And of course, the people who were being served, the guests, were looking at me like, what's this guy doing here? The thing is, it is very easy to see our place as being higher than others or separating ourselves, even when we are doing good and helping people. But to be authentic in our humility, we need to see ourselves and all others at the same level. And that level is this, that each and every one of us, whether it's me, you, the person sitting next to you, the person walking out on the street, everybody is a beloved child of God. No more, no less. This reading we heard also from Hebrews today begins with very simple words, let mutual love continue. Now, we love to talk about love in the church. We like to talk about it so much, and it's such an easy thing to say, let mutual love continue. But of course, we know people are so easy to love, aren't they? People are easy to love until we start acting like people. I had a clergy colleague many years ago who was non-parochial, didn't work in a congregation. He was working in another ministry. And I asked him how he got into this ministry. And he said, well, I'll tell you, I realized something, that I love humanity, but I just can't stand people. Well, I was a little taken aback by that. But the thing with loving people is that we all come as a complete package, with good and with bad. And the challenge for all of us is to love people, not in spite of our flaws, not just the good parts, but to love people with their flaws. And you know, the funny thing is, that's exactly how God loves you. That's how God loves all of us, the whole package, not just the good parts. And so that's how we're called then to love others. But as people, we often have a tendency to want to change others when we don't like something about them. I'll tell you where I'm really guilty of this. One of my occupational hazards, if you will, being a priest, is that frequently I have somebody come to the door of the church office wanting money, needing some assistance of some kind. Maybe they need utilities paid or a bus ticket somewhere or something like that. And my first reaction, my first instinct is to try to direct them to the right place. You know, we have lots of social services, a lot of people, a lot of organizations that do good things. And maybe just the right thing is to pair them up with the place they need. Sometimes, of course, if I can't find what they need, I will pay a utility bill or something for them. But there are times that people who come to my door can't seem to navigate the system, even when I put those resources in their lap. Sometimes I even try to make a phone call for them or set up an appointment or walk them directly to the place they need to go. And what I find really frustrating is that even then, they can't quite work the system. And I realize there's two issues here. Number one, when I get frustrated, is I have to remind myself I'm not the one trying to deal with the system. It's them, not me. And two, the other thing that I have to realize is that what I really get frustrated at is that I want that person to think like I do. Now, this does not mean that we shouldn't set boundaries or that people cannot or should not change. But what it does mean is this. It means I cannot change someone else. I can tell that person no, or I can do what I can try. I can try to do what I can. But at the end of the day, I'm not God. I'm not a superhero. Although sometimes I do wear a cape. But it does mean that I cannot change that person. Only God can change that person. Only God can change their heart and their life. Now, Hebrews goes on to say, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Wow, what an amazing image that is. I love this imagery. Have you ever really entertained a supernatural being? Who knows? Maybe. It's unlikely. But I love the point it's trying to drive home, which is that we should act as if everybody we meet is actually an angel. We should treat everyone as though she or he is divine. And you know, it's not really even that far from the truth, is it? I mean, everybody you come across, no matter who they are, no matter how different they are than you, that person was created in God's image. And that person is a beloved child of God, adopted through Christ. That person really is divine in their own way. The next thing the letter to Hebrews says, which can be a little bit complicated, it says, remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Now, this one really is a bit hairy. It's complicated. Because I would imagine outside of maybe the lawyers in the room or somebody who's worked inside the justice or legal system, there probably are not too many people here who have actually gone to visit someone in prison. And it's particularly interesting living in a society that has the world's highest prison population. You're more likely to know someone who actually is in prison as an American than from people from other countries. And in our society, what's really complicated about this is that we tend to write people off. We take away someone else's humanity because of what they have done. Now, of course, I'm not going to deny people have truly done some really horrible, awful, despicable things. And yes, people need to serve justice. They need to serve time. This is not something I am denying. But no matter what, that person still needs to be treated as a human being. They are still God's children and we need to act as if they are. I would imagine this is probably the single most difficult thing in our society to hear, because we are very bent on the idea that justice means revenge. And one of the difficult message of the gospel is that absolutely no one is beyond redemption. And we need to act as though everyone is already redeemed. Now, we like to think what goes around comes around, but that's not the Christian message. The Christian message is no more than this. We are all sisters and brothers in Christ. Full stop. And I think what makes this difficult, what makes this a difficult teaching is that we tend to look down on those who have done wrong and act as though we are more human than they are. You see, this is where the catch is when we talk about humility, because then we start to look down. The reality is this: we have all done things we are ashamed of. We all carry burdens with us. Now, perhaps we have not done something illegal, but we've all done wrong. And if we measure against the right place, if we measure everyone against Christ, then we realize that not a single one of us truly measures up. And then we remember where our place is. And our place is like the place of every other person, and that is the place of all of God's children. That we are loved by God and redeemed by Christ. And when we see anyone and everyone in that same place, no matter who they are, we can then start to live more authentically into our own humility. Because we remember that it is through Christ that we are made right. And it is through Christ that everyone else is also. Amen.